Hey guys.
Hey.
I'm Alicia.
And I'm Meredith.
And this is It's About the Pasta, a Vanderpump Rules podcast. Still quarantine edition. Meredith and I are still separated. She's still in St. Louis. I'm still in Chicago. We're both
making
in
it work.
Houses. Yeah, so, like, sorry for the audio again. We're really trying to get through it. Any suggestions would be great. But we are on the Geek Nerdery Podcast Network. Check out all their other podcasts. If you're not doing anything else, you might as well.
The challenge has started, like we said, you're only 1 week behind, so, or I guess maybe 2 weeks now, but it's great. This season, I'm hyped for it. If you like CBS shows, there's a lot of CBS people. Get on it.
Yeah, so excited. But also, join our Facebook group. We're trying to get you guys more interactive now because we have nothing else to do besides, like, chat with you guys online, which sounds creepy, but, like, in the most friendly way.
We are normal people. We're some young adult teenagers. We're some young adults. We're some teenagers chilling out our parents'
house. It feels that way. I feel younger.
I feel that way, minus the fact that my sister's kids are running around.
Oh, God. That ages you, like, 10 years every day.
I know.
Also, be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave reviews for us. Meredith, we got a new review.
New review. We love the help. We love knowing if it's going well, if it's not. So we appreciate this review.
Yeah. So we are now up to 18 ratings and 7 reviews, and our newest review is 5 stars, and it is titled Favorite Pump Podcast, and it's from Andy9892. So thanks, Andy. We're going to read it now. She says, I look forward to listening to you ladies every week. I don't have a way to watch the current season as I am a millennial without cable. So this is the only way for me to catch up with my favorite reality show, which, like, I should also mention that I use my parents' cable to watch this show, so I get it.
100%, I do, too. We feel
She goes on to say, keep it up. Only negative I have is the sound. For some reason, I have to turn up my volume super loud to hear both of you clearly, and then the commercials blow my speakers out. But she put, like, a laughing, crying emoji at the end, so I think she's, like, not mad,
We're
it's
trying
annoying.
To wake you up, Andy. We're waking you up for this commercial.
Keep paying attention.
We'll work on it. I've got it. I'm on the editing side. I will work on that if I can. Let me do
Thanks,
some Googling.
Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
But see, you can give us a 5-star review and, like, just put your negatives in there. That's fine.
Yeah.
We don't care.
You can tell us you love us and
you hate us.
Change some audio. Yeah.
Give us both. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to hit on this before we go into this week's episode. So, Meredith, last week, we talked about how we were going to ask everyone who they blocked and pumped for the, or not pumped, accepted, sorry.
Yes.
Who they blocked and accepted. And you put it when you posted the podcast.
Yes.
And we had 2 responses. We had our shining star, Chris, who said he would block everyone.
Everyone, always. I feel you.
And then we had someone new that we're so excited about. Carolyn said she would block Sheena and Brett. She can't deal with them. The whole cast is getting more and more annoying. Not that it'll keep her from watching, which I feel the same way, Carolyn.
I agree. I will never stop watching. It's a horrible car crash. I can't look away.
We're too far in at this point. But I thought Sheena and Brett was a good idea. Their awkwardness is, like, too much sometimes.
Oh, gosh. Oh, 100%. It's a combined effort with that one. It's no person's fault. It's just the two of them together.
But I really liked last week's episode. You and I were so excited about it, right?
Oh,
so excited.
I am on board. I hope this continues because Brett was fun this episode. We got, something about him, we got to see more of his, personality, especially with Lisa. I loved him with Lisa.
Yeah, same. I really liked Brett this episode, but I felt everyone else kind of fell a little short. You know, it didn't make it
yeah.
didn't have me laughing. I wasn't on the edge of my seat, but I liked the new kind of sprinkle of people.
I liked the Dana and Brett. I was about them.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like a new fun duo we got.
And we're getting closer to Brett and Stassi's engagement. I'm enjoying that storyline. It's funny because you listening to that podcast where Stassi like talked about her engagement, it's funny to now see it really all play out.
I know, and how like man she really was.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, let's get into it. Wait, are you mixing it up?
I am.
Were you gonna say that?
Yes, I was about to say whoa, one more important part.
What are you
Alicia,
drinking?
I am drinking a Bud Light seltzer, mango flavored. I'm usually a lemon lime type of seltzer gal, but the mango isn't too bad. A big fan of Bud Light seltzers, everybody. Not sponsored.
But if you'd like to, just contact us.
Yeah, LMK. Yeah, my sister's on a conference call today and told, I think it was her team. I don't really know who she's talking to. But I think they were talking about people being worried about running out of toilet paper, because I heard it's a big problem in Chicago. There's, like, none anywhere. And she was like, oh, no, we're not concerned. Like, to be honest, we're more concerned about running out of alcohol here. We drink about 2 30-packs and about 3 bottles of wine a week.
Oh, my
so
God.
My family is definitely drinking our way through the quarantine, although, as I told Alicia right before we started recording, this is not abnormal behavior for my family. This is just a normal, I almost said Thursday, normal Wednesday. We're recording on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling Meredith that my family, we don't really drink a lot as is. My mom's, like, tagline that we give her shit about all the time is, I'm not a big drinker, so we always make fun of her. But honestly, I went into this moving back into my parents' house for the time being like, I'm probably not going to drink that much, so I just, like, maybe I'll do a dry quarantine, you know? But now,
yeah.
I swear to God, almost at least twice a week, I'll go out for dinner, and my mom's like, ooh, I made you a screwdriver. Like, ooh, I poured you a glass
so
of wine.
So fun!
And I'm like, Mom, I'm trying to do dry quarantine, and you're ruining it. And obviously, I take the drink, but my mom's getting turnt during quarantine. I don't know what got into her.
Love that. I should tell my mom to bring home the frozen drink maker at her work. She makes cocktail mixes.
Oh.
And we should just start drinking frozen margaritas left and right.
Yeah, 100%. I love margs. I wish we had more tequila here, but we don't.
I know. That's the one thing. We aren't really drinking a lot of hard alcohol. It's mostly just beer and wine, which I'm fine with. Can't complain.
Yeah, that's the best. Well, let's talk about some real drinkers, shall we?
Oh, man. Yeah, if I drink... Just drink every time that they drink.
Previously on Vanderpump Rules, we find out that Tom and Katie aren't really married. Stassi and Beau talk about their wedding. Dana and Max broke up over a girl that Max wasn't even dating. Sheena put the moves on Brett, and Brett rejected all of them.
Friendzoned hardcore.
Dana and Brett are, like, chatting at work a little. I think this is the one and only scene that they had, like, previously. So they wanted us to know that they were somewhat friends, even though they're not.
But they've spoken beforehand.
And then the worst prank ever happened with the cop car. And Katie was super upset about it. And Schwartz was upset that she was upset. So he went at her.
Oh, man. That was crazy.
Let's get into this episode. So we open up at the skate park with Max,
obviously
Tom. What? I'm setting the picture.
Go for it. I was trying to say that, obviously, their normal hangout spot, the Venice skate park.
Yeah, honestly, these old men show up. So at one point, I think it was like Bo or Jax or someone is like, these are, like, almost professionals, you know, like, people trying to become professional. And then you have, like, Tom, Schwartz, and Max trying to, like, ride their board without falling off.
They were so funny. And then Jackson, like, full hockey mode. It was so weird.
Oh, my God. Bo gave him the weirdest look. Like, Bo is literally, like, Bo seems like these kids' dad because he didn't have skates or anything.
Yeah.
So he was just, like, standing there cheering Tom and Max on. It was so cute.
Like... You guys seriously want to go to the skate park?
Whatever. But then you had, like, all, like, these shirtless, chiseled young men. That one dude with the long blonde hair that looked like a mermaid.
So great.
It was great. Nothing too exciting happened here. They talk about Schwartz and his, like, drunk tirade at Katie.
Yeah.
And he said that her reaction disgusted him, which I was like, that's kind of harsh.
I know, especially like the day after. It's like, I feel like the day after, I'm shocked he didn't wake up and just be like, wow, I shouldn't have said anything. Like, I should have just let you have your moment. But he is, like, sticking to his guns about, like, I was so not into it. I hated it. Like, I was appalled by it. And it's just like, okay, whoa, are you, like, apologizing? Or, like, are you mad that you did that? Or are you just still mad at Katie?
Yeah, I agree. And then Jess was like, it's inevitable that girls are going to ruin this prank. Which
oh
I wanted
God.
To be like, I just thought it was, and maybe I'm, because I'm a girl, I just didn't find it funny, Jax. Pick a different prank.
Well, it's like, okay, yeah, like, you can still enjoy your prank, but then also be like, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean for you to, like, get so upset about it. Like, you can still love the prank and then apologize for making somebody upset. Like, that's okay to, like,
yeah.
see it both ways.
100%. Honestly, thinking about it right now, we didn't get a whole lot of Jax and Brittany.
No, and I think that's purposeful.
Their storyline's over. No one cares.
Well, I think they realized they heavy loaded it so much, and I'm sure people got annoyed, but they had to do that whole story at the beginning of the season that it's like, all right, let's just go light now. Like, they had so much screen time, so people who hate them, like, really need a break.
True. Well, let's go see the newbies. So we go to Lax, an axe
oh,
throwing
no, this
place.
Is great. I love the name of this place because it's like, no, it's LAX, like axe, instead of X, like the airport.
Yeah.
I love the name. I literally was dying laughing. I paused it just to laugh. My mom watched it with me last night, and I was like, that's great. And she was just like, okay.
But so we have Danica, Brett, James, Raquel, Dana, and Ariana. There's six of them. I think
yeah,
I got
this
them.
This is a great group. I love this.
Great group. They're all, I'm going to tell you my favorite part of this whole thing. They're all throwing their axes, and they're all fucking awful. And then my girl, Raquel, steps on up, and she throws this axe, and she is so good. And then in her interview, she calls herself excellent.
Yeah.
And she's a bad axe bitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, she said she was exceeding all expectations. I've never... Is Raquel a comedian now? I love her.
She, and the look on her face, she was so proud of herself because she delivered them very well. And then she just, like, crushed it.
She's like, I fucking did it. I knew my line and I delivered it.
I love her.
Brett tries to make a joke that's, like, not as funny, but he's like, I'm wearing X body spray. And I was like, oh, God. Flashback
and Dana's
like the seventh grade.
Congrats. Yeah.
My God. We had this, like, locker, the boys had a locker room in junior high,
mm-hmm.
and every time it would open, you would, and you were walking past it, you'd get a whiff of Axe body spray,
oh.
and that's immediately what I thought of. I was, like, PTSD.
We had this, like, wall where all the, like, coats and books and, like, you would store stuff, like, your backpack and everything during the day. So,
uh-huh.
as well, you'd have to, like, go back behind this wall and grab stuff. And girls would buy it and just fuck with the boys because, like, obviously, like, boys only wore it. So it was, like, people would spray it around, and the teachers would get pissed. They would start screaming at the guys because they, like, in a sense, sprayed it on themselves. But it's, like, girls were just spraying it to fuck with them and get them in trouble. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God. And it's, oh, God, I sympathize with the teachers, but it used to smell so bad.
Oh, yeah. Ugh,
well,
man, the middle school days.
The Axe body spray kind of worked. Because Dana and Brett start flirting, and he says
yes.
he's going to Dana's birthday party.
And
then,
Brett asked Dana on a date, also a lunch date, again with these lunch dates.
But I think that's, like, a really good way to start, you know, because it's not like dinner. It doesn't get too serious. Also, they're servers, so, like, maybe that
yeah.
has something to do with it. But,
that's
like,
true.
I'm a lot more relaxed if someone asks me out for a lunch date than a dinner date. Because I think it's more fun and, like, easy breezy type, you know?
And it's, like, it's easier, in a sense, to extend it if you're having fun or then, like, to part ways if it's just, like, okay, this was, like, fun to grab lunch. Like, let's just stay friends.
Yeah. Also, so Brett did this with Charlie, but he always starts out by asking his dates by being, like, hey, we should hang out more because, like, I only see you at work and then, like, you know, social gatherings, but like we should hang out and like get to know each other a little more. And he doesn't straight up, like, it's always like, am I just going to hang out with Brett or is this a date? And does he do this to all his friends? Because I would do that to my girlfriends, you know, like be like, oh, I don't really see you that much. Or girlfriends, I feel like.
A smooth transition. It doesn't make it awkward. So it's not like a super like call out like this is a date so you feel weird. And then if it goes well, you're like, okay, that was a date. And if it doesn't, it like with Charlie, it's like, okay, we just grab lunch, chill out.
Yeah, I know, I loved it. I was like, I hope someone asked me out like that, where I don't know if it's a date or not.
Yeah, because then I feel like it takes the pressure off, because then it's like, okay, either we're going to be, it seems like we're going to be really great friends, like, who, I would love more friends. I feel like it's never bad to have friends. Or, like, if we do hit it off, like, that's great. I feel like you wouldn't ask somebody to get lunch that you didn't already, like as a friend. So it's like, it can only be good. Either you're interested in each other or you're just going to be better friends, as Sheena would say.
Well, speaking of Sheena, Dana even said, she's like, I don't know if Sheena's going to be cool about this. And Brett makes his face where he's like, I don't give a fuck.
Isn't it crazy that Dana basically has to run her dating life by Sheena just because she's great friends with these people?
Oh, my God. I have so many opinions about this, like, towards the end when we're at Dana's birthday party. But, yes, this is fucking outrageous. Well, let's go see all of our workers at Sir.
Heck, yeah.
Charlie is working, and she sucks, dude. I've never been a waiter or waitress, but I assume that you're supposed to be, like, everything on our menu is freaking great, you know? So she's, like, recommending all these desserts. And the people are like, oh, what about the cheesecake? And she's like, well, I'm really picky about my cheesecake, so I only go to Cheesecake Factory. And I want to be like,
I'm sorry. Oh, I know they're, I'm sure they have great cheesecake. Like, I haven't been there in forever. But, like, if you're at a high-end restaurant in L.A., I don't think the Cheesecake Factory is what you want to compare your dessert to.
Also, yeah, really. Also, you're working for this place. Like, you should. Yeah, even if the cheesecake sucks, be like, oh, cheesecake's amazing, too. And if you don't like it, be like, I'm lactose intolerant, but it looks amazing. Like,
I'm not a big fan of cheesecake, but everybody I hear who has it loves it, you know? Like,
yeah. Whatever. So Lisa comes in to talk to Guillermo. Guillermo sighting.
Yes, Guillermo.
So I'm going to do Peter sighting and Guillermo sighting. This is my Guillermo sighting. Lisa came back from her mother's funeral and she's doing okay, but she's got to deal with some bullshit because Guillermo's got issues with Danica.
I love this. Danica had an error. She's a manager. She has two tables and she has a limited amount of tables so she can focus on everybody else too. But I'm sure that way, like, she pitches in. I don't really understand. I'm shocked that a manager has tables, but whatever. And she somehow screwed up these two tables. And I don't understand how you screw this up. Like, one table went home with $200 extra food on their bill that they, like, another table got, I think.
Well, here's one. You know what? For a second, I'm going to blame the patron really quick. The fuck you're not doing checking your bill for $200 extra dollars.
Okay, yes. Yes, I agree. But, like, these people probably are super rich if they didn't know $200 was missing.
Also, if it's a big party, I see it. But I just want to know, like, what in the hell? If there's an extra $5 for a soda I didn't order on my bill, I'm calling bullshit on everyone.
Yeah, what I'm telling you is, if, like, these people are rich and they're, like, buying for the whole table, they don't remember what they got.
True. So I was, like, confused by it because, like you said, I don't really understand how it happened. But I guess, like, both these tables paid. One paid $200 more than they should have. And then Sir had to call the next day, which I don't know how Sir figured this out, but Sir had to call and be like, hey, we're so sorry that we charged you $200 more. And then I don't know what they did about it, but I'm assuming they gave them $200 worth of food at the restaurant or something.
I wonder if they canceled the charge. Like, I feel like you have to cancel the charge if you accidentally charge somebody $200 extra on their bill. And obviously, since they didn't notice, it was already a big bill. Like, yikes.
Yeah, I'm not in the restaurant business. I have absolutely no idea how this works, but there are so many possibilities for how wrong this could have been. Danica, you fucking up. So Lisa sends her son, Max, who still looks like a busboy after years. I don't know how the son's, how the manager's or the owner's son can't get a better job, but whatever. He is sent to go find Danica. And she comes and tells everyone that it's totally her fault, but she's bringing her personal problems into work and, like, all this shit. I don't know, man. I felt like she wasn't taking ownership for a second until Lisa told her to.
Like, what personal problem? Like, she didn't even, like, mention what was happening. It's not like she's in a fight with bartender Brett and, like, punched him out again. Like, what personal problems are you bringing here where you can't focus on two effing tables?
Yeah, I don't know. And then Lisa was like, you need to drop the attitude because your attitude has gotten you in trouble here before. You punched your bartender in the face. You were rude to Richardson at Tom Tom. Also, we have seen Richardson before. I don't know if you remember, but it, like, hit me. It was seasons ago. And for some reason, all the employees at Sir had to learn how to make drinks properly. And I remember Jax was just bitching about it. Like, I can make drinks fine, but they were learning the pump drinks or something. And this dude Richardson comes over and is teaching them. And Jax literally starts a fucking fight with Richardson, who's like, look, I'm here because Lisa asked me to be here. I remember when we go back to watch the series from the beginning, I'm going to point out Richardson every time.
Okay.
But yeah.
I believe you. But that's
Richardson.
Crazy.
But yeah, Danica's just got a bad attitude.
I agree, she does. It's like, she seems like the worst employee. I'm so shocked she got to manager. I can't wait till Dana climbs the ranks and becomes the new manager.
Does she want, because Lisa said she wants to be in the restaurant business. And I was like, doing what? Like, own a restaurant? Like, how is this going to help her?
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, like, I would stick with Lisa. If you're a beloved employee, look, Tom and Tom got a bar.
Peter is still a manager.
Oh, that poor guy.
I feel so bad for Peter.
I know.
He's like the old Brett. Like, Lisa replaced him. Lisa overlooked his hard work for years, and he just gets nothing.
Poor guy. That's all right, though. But
oh, well.
Next, we go to Katie and Tom, and we get sad Katie, who she was offended by the prank, as we said, and she doesn't want to have to apologize for being offended, which I agree with. Like,
I fucking agree. You don't get to choose how you make people feel.
Yes. All you have to do is say, I acknowledge your feelings. Like, Tom didn't even have to say she was right about the way she feels. Like, it didn't even have to be about that. Like, he didn't even have to acknowledge him, to be honest. If he just left her alone, all would be well.
I agree. And she said something like, she said it was a waste of time and money. And Tom got so mad. He's like, it wasn't a waste of time and money. And I was like, yeah, it fucking was. How much did Randall have to pay for that to happen? That's like outrageous.
Think about it. He probably had to talk it through with them, and then they had to get all set up and wait for them all to come back home. I'm sure those people were sitting around the corner waiting for a text. Cause, like,
they had to rent a cop car from, like, a movie set, I bet.
When they replayed it, I realized that cop car looked so dumb.
But did it look fake?
The quality of this cop car was ridiculous. Think about the cop cars you see nowadays. I think a lot of them are, like, Fords, and it's, like, they're way nicer. Like, the paint on it looked shitty. Like, oh, I was like, this is embarrassing for 2020. Or, I guess, 2019.
God, Randall, you can't even pull off a bad prank properly.
Yeah, you're supposed to steal a cop car first.
But, yeah, that's basically, Tom says he has a shame hangover, which, like,
I love that. I love that.
You fucking should.
Well, I loved it because I've woken up so many times and not been hungover, but I've definitely had a shame hangover.
Oh, yeah, I have shame hangovers. Not in a while, but it's definitely been there.
But it's just like, things start flooding back, and you're just like, why? Why did I ask like that?
But then the Bubbas decide to talk about someone else with more problems in their relationship than they do, and Stassi is pressuring the hell out of Bo to get married. She wants to get this engagement ring. And he's trying to plan it, but she's, like, really laying it on thick.
Which I get it. Stassi's a control freak, and we know that. We appreciate it. But Stassi wants to know, and she wants it to happen soon. But both taking the time to really plan this, which I appreciate.
I love it. So we go to Villa Blanca. I was so excited to see Villa Blanca again.
Me too. I, like, kind of forgot about it because since Lisa's not on the Real Housewives anymore, they used to throw so many parties at Villa Blanca and Sur that they really aren't at, like, Bravo never shows Villa Blanca anymore.
Well, here we are. Ladies look super cute. Katie and Stassi walk in. They're about to get their gossip on, but then Kristen comes, so that's shut down real fast. And they
have
a Witches of WeHo party to plan.
Which, like, this is so awkward, like, them, like, in a sense, planning it. But Stassi says she would prefer to be a dictator than, I don't even know what else she said, but...
A democracy.
Yeah, she just wants to do it herself, figure it out, and move on. Which I kind of agree. If I was in this scenario with one person I hated and my friend, I would rather just be like, it's kind of like a group project in college. You're like, listen, let me just handle it. I'll take control. No big deal. Like, I'll make sure it's top quality, and then we can all just move on.
Exactly. And then oh, my God, this can't get any more awkward. Lisa comes in with her friend Elena, and she turns to Stassi and Katie, and she says something like, so Vegas soon, right?
Yeah.
And Stassi and Katie were like, yeah. And Kristen just, under her breath, like, into her microphone, as if she's, like, talking to the producer, just like, I don't even know what's going on right now.
Yeah. I loved it because they don't even say, like, Katie and Stassi don't say anything more. They're just like, yes. Like confirming what Lisa has said, but not say anymore because they do not want to get into it. They're hoping Kristen did not hear it.
I know. And then I was just cracking up. Kristen just like, because it loudly played on, like, the episode. I don't even know what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And I had to be like, oh, my God. She's so uncomfortable. But this whole thing was uncomfortable. I have been in this spot before where I'm, like, the person not invited to something, you know, and then it's brought up. Actually, this happened to me recently where my best friend's friend from college was talking about her birthday party. And then she, like, looked at me, which I wasn't offended because I'm not friends with this girl. But she looked at me, she goes, you should totally come. And I was like, yeah.
Like,
I really went, though, because I had nothing else to do that day. But, you know, whatever. Teach their own.
Yeah.
man.
But then they moved on. Stassi gets told that Lisa wants to talk to her. And it's
God, Stassi gets summoned.
I love it because it's like being called to the principal's office, but you're like besties with the principal because Lisa and Stassi are so close, but like Stassi walks over and they talk about Bo potentially proposing and the stress of it all. But then they get to the juicy stuff of, why did you say something? Because, Kristen didn't know you totally spilled the tea. And Lisa's like, what? I didn't realize that.
I know. And then, Lisa was like, you know, Kristen's going to find out and she's going to be pissed. And Stassi just looks at her and goes, who cares?
I love it. I love that because it's honestly at this point, if you are truly done with the friendship, which it seems like they are, and Katie and Stassi just want to move on, you do have to just stop caring, to be honest. Like, things aren't going to get better. So yeah, maybe space is best. So this is just a dumb trip. Yeah, it has something to do with a wedding, but it's not their true wedding. It's just a dumb trip, to be honest, where they can say that they got married and make it, like, legal. But Tom says later, like, he doesn't want to overshadow their real wedding. So it's like, let's just go get married. So, it's honestly, who cares? Like, we're just taking a trip.
Yeah. But, so, that's basically, like, the gist of it. But I'm going to point out things that, like, happened in these scenes that made me, like, absolutely laugh. So at one point, when Stassi gets called over by the waiter to go sit by Lisa, she's sitting there. And we get, like, a weird camera angle from Lisa's table to, like, where Katie and Kristen are. And Katie's just looking over at the table, just, like, yearning to be sitting there with them. And she's not. She didn't get called over. And I was like, God, the awkwardness at that table with Katie and Kristen right now is unbelievable.
And it isn't even because, like, Lisa loves Stassi more than anything. Like, obviously, like, Lisa loves Katie because of, like, especially because of her relationship with Tom, but it's literally probably just the fact that she does not want to be at that table with Kristen, which I totally get, because have you ever been at like a dinner where it's like, you're really great friends with two out of the three people, and then those two people get up and go to the bathroom, and you're like, so what do we talk about now? Like, I don't really know this person. Like, hello?
Yeah, freaking 100%. That's exactly, like, you just look around and find a spot. You start watching people. Outrageous. Let's go to our lunch date with Brett and Dana.
Oh, I am so on for this. First off, I believe they go to a Mexican restaurant, which, like, I would be down in Margs, but Dana says she has to work later, so I guess not Downey Margs.
Well, they get free chips. And honestly, if I'm dating a dude and he's bringing me to a Mexican restaurant, I'm immediately like, this dude is smart because he knows there's going to be free chips involved. And that kind of takes the pressure off, like, the date, because, you know, like, a lot of times food's involved, and then it's like, oh, who pays? But if you just do, like, drinks and free chips,
yes,
I'm happy because I'm fed, but also, like, none of us had to deal with that awkward payment stuff.
Oh, so yeah. And it's, like, it's cheap. It's kind of like you went to dinner, but, like, you're just eating some chips, and you're getting the good stuff, the drinks.
Yeah. And I love that they're at the bar. Like, this was the most fun, casual date.
And I realized that this is why I actually think that they could be a good match. Like, they're both really chill people, like, really fun time, like, Dana seems like a kind of like a guy in relationships, but not in a really bad way, where she's just like, I'm here to have fun. If you want to hang out, that's great. If not, no worries. Like, let's be honest, she's not really like pining over Max. Like, she's moved on and she's like, hey, I'll go on a date.
Yeah, and I think they're both like really low drama, because Brett starts off and says that he told Max, and he's like, I'm bros before hoes kind of guy. And
yeah.
I wanted, you know, Max is one of my good friends, so I said we were getting lunch. And, like, I think the drama would have ensued if Brett didn't tell Max, because then it's like, oh, my God, he went behind my back and blah, blah, blah. But Brett's like, nah, I'm going to, you know, be a man about it. I'm going to tell my dude, because he's the one that ended up rejecting Dana. So, like, he should be cool with it. And if he's not, he can let me know. But Max is cool about it.
And I've learned, it's honestly not even with your initial action. It's the fact that this group picks up anything and, like, is ready to just, like, make it a gossip train, that, like, Max not hearing it from Brett honestly would have been the problem. Not that they actually went on a date, but, like, the fact that he didn't hear it from Brett.
Yeah. And we see Brett, like, dating game in action again. And honestly, it's not that bad. I think last time it was bad because Charlie sucked at dating. But, like,
yes.
Brett's not too bad. He's complimenting the hell out of Dana. They start talking about, like, openly. Dana's like, I don't think I'm your type. And Brett's like, well, and he goes into it. He talks about his one relationship, and Dana's not offended.
No.
She talks about her mom passing, and he's, like, into it. This is what a discussion looks like, Charlie. Take notes.
Yeah, it's crazy because they talk about very real stuff. And, like, I don't think talking about your past relationship on a date is that bad, because you're just kind of talking about, like, what happened or what you're looking for. So, like, the only thing you have to compare it to is past relationships. And Dana talking about her mom, like, that's obviously it had to do with her birthday. So, like, that's a huge part of, like, what's coming up in our life. So, like, having those actual real conversations is only going to lead to either something, like, it only makes you realize if you actually like that person, rather than wasting your time.
Yeah, they got super deep. Like, Brett was like, I just want someone capable of loving me. And I was like, damn.
Yeah, it was lighthearted and fun at the same time. I really love these two.
I think it was because it was a lunch date at a restaurant with free.
Yeah.
So
they're
just
sitting at the bar.
Like,
nobody else is there.
It's all
work
cool.
Later, so they're going to enjoy the moment they have.
So there is one, like, interview scene where Dana breaks down talking about her mom, and I honestly teared up.
It's
like, I was like, oh my God, this girl is so strong. She lost her mom. Her mom shares a birthday with her.
Yeah. That's the hardest part.
So
I think
cute.
Is the fact that, like, they share a birthday, because, like, when you lose a parent, I've been very lucky not to. But, like, when you lose a parent, you mourn their birthday too. So then to have to mourn your own birthday is probably so difficult. But Dana did post on Instagram last night, you know, like sharing some like photos from her birthday. And she said that this was the first one that she like actually enjoyed since her mom has passed. And she did say in her interview too that she was not expecting to like have a huge birthday party since moving from,
Seattle.
And it's really cool to see how like much people have accepted her. Like this is her first season on the show. Like James and Raquel have never gotten this, but like, I'm really happy for Dana that she had like a really great birthday. It looked so fun.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy for her too. And I think it was just like a cute scene. And I think this is like, it makes her birthday even more special because it was her mom's birthday.
Yeah.
So like she should celebrate it to like the fullest extent every time. I love it. I love Dana. I'm such a fan.
I agree. Let's move on to our power couple who's on the verge of getting engaged. We go to, Bo's work, Castaway Studios. I love that we get a little scene of Bo working with, like, his manager. Like,
I cannot
imagine my friend showing up at my work to talk about my engagement.
Oh, my God, I know. It's like he was with his manager and Tom and Katie walk in, and he was like, hey, perfect time. And it's always like he was kicking the manager out, but you totally knew it was staged.
Yeah.
So, like, it was just a bunch of off. Because Bo and her, the manager, were sitting there just like, I really liked her. That was great. Oh, my God. Hey, guys. Welcome to my work. I was like, oh, God.
So great. But Katie and Tom are really excited to talk about the proposal. They had to go to Bo's work because he really is making this a surprise. He said he's been planning this for 6 months. And if Katie and Tom came over to the house, like, Stassi could track them, which this is pretty smart to have them come to your work because it's just a normal day then. Like, why would Stassi go, like, creep on Bo's work to see if, like, people show up? Like, that would never happen. So this is pretty smart that he, like, recruits them to come to work.
Genius because I'm totally the person. Like, I have a lot of my friends' locations, and I don't really care where they are. But a lot of times, if I'm going to ask them to hang out, I'll check their location first and be like, oh, if they're already out, like, I don't know, maybe I'll text them, or if they're, like, at their parents' house. So I always check my friends' locations just for, like, fun. But I'm totally Stassi. I would do that all the time.
This is genius. Crazy. But Bo has two rings, or actually, I think three rings, that his aunt and his dad gave him, which is, this is kind of crazy. Like, who gets three family rings? And they're Tiffany 3 to 4 carat rings that he just has a picture of.
My God, they were so pretty. And he had a big picture of them, too. And Katie and Bo were both like, Stassi would like those, too. And Tom is just like, three rings?
Yeah, he's like, I love that because it's free. Like, what a lucky guy. He doesn't have to pay for it.
Oh, I know. So he has it planned out perfectly to Stassi's enjoyment. Like,
yeah.
Yes. So Stassi loves graveyards. And Stassi loves mausoleums, and she wants a mausoleum. So they're going to go look at mausoleums.
It's so funny because he said, like, after her grandma died, that's when she decided, like, we should go look for mausoleums for ourselves. Which, like, this is how you know Bo loves her, is he's like, okay, like, if that's what you're into, I'll do it with you.
It's so cute. But yeah, he's going to propose in this graveyard while they're looking at mausoleums.
The rock. Mm. I love that he was like, I'm going to get a special design box that looks like a rock so I could be like, what's that? And I was like, you literally have this plan down to the most minute detail. You could literally just put a ring box there and then like all would be well. But he's like, no, I need it to look like a rock.
I know. And then like the way he talks about her in his interview, he's like, I love her. She's my forever. I'm going to be with her. I want to make her happy. I want, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God, tears.
I know. Stassi he was like, she makes me laugh. I love being around her. She just makes me the happiest. I was like, he talks about how her love for things that are, like, abnormal, which makes me think that, like, he totally does not want to get engaged in a graveyard, but he knows that that will make her happy, so he wants to do it.
Oh, it's literally so cute. Quick fun story though. So when I was like maybe in junior high, my family, like my extended family was over And we were talking about what we would do if we won the lottery. And everyone, of course, is like, I would travel, or I would buy a big house, or, like, you know, whatever. And I, my dad's sister, so my aunt, she goes, I would buy a giant mausoleum for all of us. And my dad gave her the weirdest look of, like, what? And I literally was like, what's a mausoleum? Because I had no idea. And my dad goes, it's when you're, like, if this big house that your whole family can get buried in together. And I was like, after we die? And he's like, yeah. And I just looked at my aunt and was like, what a waste of your lottery winning. We won't even care. We'll be dead. But so now mausoleums hold a special place in my heart for my family. We die every time we talk about mausoleums.
My dad's dream is to be buried above ground, like in a mausoleum or such. And he has, he's obsessed with U2, and he has this U2 iPod he wants us to plug in, like have a plug in there for him so the iPod is always charged and he can listen to U2. His dead body can listen to U2.
Oh, my God, this can be so expensive.
I'm like, yeah, of course I'll do that. And then I'm like, yeah, that thing's going, like, we're chucking that in the river.
Well, let's go to Kristen's house/car.
This is so weird. This was the weirdest scene. Kristen has nobody to film with. So she has to be filmed driving in the car on the way to, like, the liquor store calling Sheena.
Yeah, and she's basically like, so I went out with Katie and Stassi, and I heard about this Vegas thing. And Sheena's like, yeah, it's their do-over wedding. I heard it about it from Max.
Yeah.
And Kristen's, like, so offended Max is going. She's super hurt, which I get because she introduced Tom and Katie, and they were friends for 10 years, and, like, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I think she's more hurt that the break in the friendship is really happening, you know?
See, I took it, like, because Sheena's like, I'm not invited either. It's really not that big of a deal. Like, Tom and Max are, like, best friends now. I think Kristen is upset that she's not invited to this thing. I don't think she really cares that she's not friends with them.
Oh, I took it more as, like, she's not invited because these girls don't want to be her friend anymore. So she's like, I'm
yeah,
going to
like,
start.
If you were upset about the friendship, she should have gotten out at, like, wine night. Like barely anybody's invited to this wedding. It's just, like I said, just a trip to Vegas. So I think she's invited about, like, now that she's not invited to this exclusive thing. And, like, not really mad about the friendship. Because in my mind, if you were mad about the friendship, like, I feel like you'd be trying to fix it. Like, I feel like Kristen just, like, they all, both parties just want to put the blame on the other person and be like, well, you're doing this. But I don't feel like Kristen's like, I would love to get coffee with you and see if we can work this out. Like, I feel like nobody's really trying, or especially Kristen. Like, Stassi has tried to just be with Kristen and, like, do things on their own. But I feel like Kristen is, and maybe we don't know, like, some of this could be in the background, but it doesn't really seem like Kristen wants to do things with just Katie or just Stassi to try and, like, build their friendship back up. I think she's pissed she's not invited.
Oh. Okay, yeah, I see that. I think it more is, like, it's real. She's not invited because she's really not friends with these kids anymore. But whatever,
yeah.
Either way, Kristen's pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then we go to Sir, and we have our first Peter sighting.
This is the weirdest. I thought this was a joke when Brittany walked in with her Sir outfit on.
Yeah, Brittany's working again. And she said it's because she, now that her and Jax are married, she never wants Jax to think that she's not pulling her weight financially in this relationship. Cut to, like, 3 years ago when he blew up at her in front of her mom, talking about how all Brittany does is lay on the couch, which was, like, great TV. I miss that. But whatever. Honestly, though, why are you both working at Sir then? Go get other jobs or something.
I mean, I assume she stopped working at Sir because she made enough money, like, doing Instagram ads and this and that, that it's like, oh, well, I can pull my weight doing other stuff. But it seems like she wasn't.
Her flat tummy tea's just not doing it for her.
This was so weird. I also wonder if she's just bored, but then, like, has to have, like, a reason to come back. So it's like, well, Ariana's working there. Tom is. Like, Jax is. Like, I might as well come back, you know? Like, why not? Why not take a shift a month?
I don't know. They should fucking let her ass go after one shift because she doesn't remember anything.
No, this that was so funny. Peter's like, do you remember the table numbers? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, okay, tell me what's that one. And she's like, one. And he's like, oh, God.
Oh, my God. He's like, poor Peter. He doesn't deserve this.
He's like, damn it. Why do you have to come back? Like, I just
fucking leave me.
Kids. Yeah.
Yeah, don't they train, like, is it just, like, if I used to work at Sir, I can call up Lisa and I'll be like, hey, Lisa, can I get my job back?
Oh, I'm sure. Like, I mean, especially with this OG cast, it only helps the show for them to actually be there.
I guess, but I feel like I'd be like, we replaced you. What are you doing? What?
Yeah, but think about how many hours these people take off to do, like, modeling things or like to try and get TV shows and this and that, and then remember when they all go on vacation together, like you need double the amount of staff.
Let's be honest, they're not real staff. They just go film for a day and then go home.
Oh,
But Sheena, I love, okay, let me tell you, Sheena has a lot of awful qualities and this is one of them, but it cracks me up every time. She is totally that person where if she wants you to know something about her life, she will let you know, but in a way that makes it seem like you were wondering. So she walks up to Dana and she's like, I don't feel well. And Dana's like, why? What's wrong?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to make it? And Sheena's like, well, I'm freezing my eggs. I just finished my second dose.
Yeah.
And then Dana's like, oh, I just walked into this.
Yeah, she, like, drops the bait, and she's like, oh, I'm exhausted. And she's like, oh, why? And then it's like, you thought she was just going to be like, oh, I didn't sleep well last night. But it's like, no, I just, since you asked, like, I'm actually freezing my eggs. Like, I've done this many rounds of shots.
Oh, my God.
And it goes into full detail. And you're like, I got to go check on a table.
It's straight up like a, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah.
You're my trap. Now I'm going to tell you. It's so funny. But Dana, in a way to be completely transparent, she tells Sheena that she went on a lunch date with Brett. And there might be some sort of connection there. Just wanted to let you know. And, of course, Sheena's like, we're just friends.
Yeah.
I don't care. We're literally just friends.
Yeah, she was like, it's not a problem for me. But, I can see it being a problem for Max. And it's like, okay, honey, when you say it's not a problem, do you mean it's a major problem or just a small problem?
But, like, also, Dana straight up said Brett already talked to Max about it.
Yeah,
and it's
no big deal. Like, it really shouldn't be a big deal. I think this was so nice of Dana to tell Sheena this because she did not owe her a thing, especially after the way she treated her last time.
The only reason you should talk to your friend about a potential love connection and, like, ask for their permission is if your friend previously had a serious relationship with that person.
Or
but
currently
one.
Likes that person. If
yeah.
they currently like that person, which I think is what Dana was doing, is like, do you like him? Because if not, or if you do, I don't want to step on your toes. Like, I have no problem not doing anything. But, like, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to your doorstep with this. Like, let me know if this will be a problem.
And she says, here's my thing. Dana and Sheena, when Dana started dating Max, Dana and Sheena weren't friends. They only worked together. So they're still not friends. And just for Dana to make her life a little easier, she just lets Sheena know. She's like, I know for a fact Brett doesn't like you, and, like, he friend-zoned you, so you have no reason to really be mad. Also, we're not friends, so I'm telling you. And Sheena still is like, I think Dana's only going to date Brett to make Max jealous.
Which is like,
whatever.
Let's move on. Like, even if that is true,
it's not your business.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're trying to make you jealous, sweetheart.
So, let's go to my favorite group of the episode, I think.
Oh, this
we
was
go
great.
To.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we like go to Ariana's house, and we have Dana, Lala, and Ariana hanging by the pool.
This was so enjoyable. I wanted to be sitting right next to them.
Same. This is my girl gang. If I'm on the show, this is the girl gang I want to be in.
I agree. And they even got Diet Coke for Lala. So sweet.
Oh, my God. They were so much fun. They were talking about tasting their own vaginas, which, like, is so this group. Like,
I
wasn't even surprised.
I thought it was so funny. Lala was like, but the chef always tastes his meal before he serves it. And I was like, stop it.
You're not wrong, girl. It
you
was
ain't
so
wrong.
Funny.
I was like,
so
that actually
funny.
is the perfect quote for that. So you do you, boo.
And it's like this whole group, like, you know, not to shit on like Katie or Sheena or Stassi or any of them. But if they said that in front of those girls, Katie would have had a sour look on her face. Stassi would have been like, ew, you guys are gross. And Sheena would have like stepped it up and been like, I'll remove two ribs to eat myself out. You know, like, they're just not fun.
Yeah, it's like, they're just like, having funny banter and like making funny jokes. And like, they don't judge. They're just like, oh, you do? Okay.
So good. So then Dana tells them about telling Sheena. She's like, I told Sheena I was going out with Brett. There's kind of a connection. And Lala's super excited about this.
Yes, she is on board. But Ariana does say if Sheena does feel any sort of way, she will not say it, which is so true. Like, and I hate when people do this. Like, okay, yeah, if you don't want to say you like him, that's fine. But then you cannot go around being, like, pissed off and, like, stirring shit up because, like, you're upset that they're dating. Like, you can lie about your feelings, but you got to stick with that then.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm totally Sheena in the sense that, like, even if I like a guy, but I know he's feeling, like, one of my friends and she's feeling him, like, I'll totally back up.
Yep.
But I'm not mad then. Like, it's totally, like, that's your dude. It's not like I bought and I lost. It's like, he was into you. What am I going to do about it? You know? Like,
yeah, it's like you hold in your feelings then, and then they'll go away.
Yeah, they're gone. It's not even a thing. But, like, that's what Sheena's got to do at this point. Like, I don't... Mm-hmm. Whatever. I really enjoy this girl gang. I want to be a part of it. Hit me up if you guys are looking for a force. I'll ditch Meredith if you guys need it.
Rude. Well, they also talk about, Ariana says that Max doesn't believe he's invited to Dana's birthday party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I first fucking forgot about this.
Which, this was interesting because they're like, then we go to Tom Tom, and Max also says, like, Dana never invited him. And I get that because Dana says, well, it's not like I sent him a text. He just knows he's invited. Well, that's not how it works.
No. Yeah. I was like, no, Dana. Especially an ex.
Yeah.
Your ex isn't going to assume they're invited.
Yeah,
I wouldn't assume.
If you did, like, a Facebook group or, like, sent out a group text, yeah, that works then. You don't need to text him individually. Or if, like, you guys were all together and he just, like, happened to be there but was, like, standing a little further back. But you're like, hey, guys, I want to invite you all, like, you have to somehow, he has to be around when it's said.
Yeah, it can't be word of mouth. It can't be like, I'm going to Dana's, I'm sure you're invited.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, I don't know. But then also, so Max, we're at Tom Tom, and Max is talking to Tom and Tom about the Dana and Brett thing. And he seems kind of a little bitter,
which I get.
But, like, also, you told Brett it was cool. Like,
and
you gotta eat it.
He's the one. Dana said she wanted to get back together with him, basically, and Max said no. So
true.
Why can't she move on then? You, in a sense, denied her. She wanted to be with you. You said no, so she moved on. Like, that's your own damn fault.
100%. So, I don't know. I don't even remember seeing Max at Dana's birthday. I don't know if he got the text or, like, what.
Well, Dana texted him, and he, and she was like, hey,
Just,
like, people were asking me about details. Like, I just want to let you know it's this address at 8:30, and he said, it's all good, period. Which we all know, if you put a period in there, you mean the exact opposite of what you mean.
I'm mad at you, period.
Yeah, okay, well, not that one.
It's always bad. Periods always mean bad things.
Unless you're, like, a super grammatically correct texter, which there are those out there, that's the worst, when you start texting people and you have to figure out their, like, texting style.
Yeah, 100%. I hate it, and I still do. I have one friend that does this. I hope she's not listening, but it's not grammatically correct. She never uses capitalization, like, for anything. So I'm just like,
I don't in some, like, Instagram posts, because, like, I really like lowercase letters, like, more than capitalized letters. But, like, when I'm texting people, I use capital letters.
I don't know. It's more of like a, like, you know how if I'll text you and be like, really good news. I don't know, like, I just won $1 million. You'd be like, what? Yeah. Like in all caps.
Yeah.
She will exactly put what, but it's like lower caps. So it's like, did you understand what I wrote? I know, it's super weird. I hate lower caps. Oh my God.
Interesting.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I like lower caps obviously better, but like, I'm big at just hitting the cap lock and just going.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It throws me off. Anyway, Stassi and Bo go to dinner.
This is great. Bo mentions like, having kids with her and that he's going to be the funny parent. And I was like, this is great. I love like him talking about like them being together, like long term, like you can tell how happy he is. I can't believe she doesn't pick up on some of these things.
Yeah. And he like, he clearly wants to be with her, but he doesn't want to drop. I don't know. Bo reminds me a lot of Schwartz in this. Because it was super awkward,
yeah,
and like, uncomfortable.
So he was like stressed out. He was just being like so robotic.
Yeah. Bo's holding this weird secret, and he's like trying to like be super. I think he's trying to be kind of mean about it, you know, like for like a surprise party. You would be like, I figured we would just stay in at your birthday and do nothing, and then people are like, oh. But he's like doing that about an engagement, and it's stopping.
Yeah.
So like he really shouldn't.
It's like you're trying to throw her off the scent, like, and not make her think you're going to get engaged without making her think you're never getting engaged. So he doesn't know how to, like, ride that fine line of, like, hey, I need some time. I do want to, like, get married one day, but I'm just not ready yet. And then she's like, you're not ready yet? And he's like, no, I am ready. I just,
He should have said something like, it's going to be the perfect moment, and you're not going to see it coming, so just, like, forget about it, or something like that, something
no,
where it's, like, ominous.
I think he doesn't even want to let her know that it's, like, that soon. I think he's just like, give me a minute. Like, I think he could have just been, like...
But how would you combat Stassi?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I would just say, like, it'll come
coming.
When it's time. Yeah, like, it just
like... It's coming.
You're stressing me more out, and, like, let's just, like, enjoy, like, being together.
Oh, my God. I'm freaking genius. Stassi's a huge Game of Thrones fan. You could just say, because, like, winter is coming, just be like, the ring is coming, and you
oh
wait
my
seven
God.
Seasons for fucking winter to come, so Stassi won't know how long. Oh,
yep.
My God. Bo, you missed your opportunity, bro.
He literally could have had, like, materials made. Every time she brought it up, he could have just been, like, held up his
held up the Game of Thrones. Instead of winter is coming, just stick on the ring, and then it's just this sign.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but this was so awkward. Like, Stassi, like, got upset and, like, says that she doesn't want her friends to know that they're fighting, especially about, like, them not getting engaged, which, like, I agree. Like, that's an awkward fight for your friends to know about because it in some way makes Stassi look desperate that they're fighting about it, but then... It kind of makes Bo look like an asshole. So I think she's just like, this isn't a fight we need our friends to know about. Like,
yes.
Herself.
I just love, though, that the two people that asked Stassi about the fight were Tom and Katie. And those are the two people that know about
no.
the agent. So it's literally like, the fact that Katie and Tom even brought it up should have never, like, they should have never went up to Stassi and been like, her and you and Bo are, like, fighting because you're not getting engaged. They should have just been like, leave it. We won't talk to Stassi about it. And instead, they're so involved.
I know.
Like,
they're the ones that are going to ruin it. Because you can tell they're too excited. So I feel like they're trying to play the Bo like game where it's like, oh, let's just like make her think it's never coming.
I know. Oh, my God. And Stassi's so upset that she like has tears and has to excuse herself to go to the bathroom.
I know, she's, like, tearing up, and she's like, I'm not hungry, and he's like, no, let's eat, please.
Be hungry.
He's like, dang it, which, like, I totally feel that, like, when I get upset, it's like, either just want to, like, eat a bunch of ice cream, and, like, you want to cry, or it's just like, I just, like, need to be alone, like, I don't want to eat anything. He's just, like, so mad that he ruined dinner, but he knows the long term, it's going to be okay. He's like, no,
I think
Stassi has to stick it out, her mental health.
Oh, my God. Mental health? Like, surprise.
It's worth it. It'll all work out.
I think, obviously, I think Stassi's a little abrasive about it, but we know who Stassi is, so at that point, Bo should just, like, shut the fuck up about it. He's like that dude that walks in the room, no one's talking about it, and then he'll look at Stassi and be like, I don't know if I'm going to get engaged too soon. And it's like, no one was talking about it, Bo. Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but you know producers are going to make him talk about it.
I know, but it's ruining his relationship.
I know. I know. I, like, wonder what the timeline of all of this was, because, like, I know he's been planning it for 6 months, but how long has she been, like, asking about it, or, like, how long have they been fighting about it not happening? So it's like, if he's making this fight last for 6 months, like, that's crazy.
Well, forever. We saw that flash of her just like, can we get someone from Game of Thrones to marry us? When we're getting married, we're going to do this. But, like, I'm pretty sure after, like, they made it official, Stassi was like, so my ring? Like,
well,
from the day.
When she talked to Lisa, she did say she was, like, able to, I feel like, calm herself down about it while Brittany and Jax's wedding was going on, because it's like, well, I want them to have their moment, so I don't want an engagement to happen right now. But now that the wedding's over, it's like she can't get her mind off of it.
It's hilarious. I feel bad for Stassi. I feel bad for Bo. There is no right or wrong. It's just all a mess.
No, but let's go to something happier. We have Dana's birthday, which seemed awesome. Her
second Peter sighting. This is my second Peter sighting, everyone.
Dana's walking in, and her sister Brittany is in town, which I think this is so cute, because like we mentioned before, like, obviously she shares a birthday with her mom, so it's a nice sister time they get to spend together.
Brett is wearing an awful flannel shirt.
That's
I
like
hate gross. It.
Rolled up
I
the
want
sleeve.
It to die. It's horrendous. Get off my screen with that. You're in West Hollywood now, Brett. Figure it out.
It's, like, so funny. He is so good-looking, but I don't like his taste and, like, the way he dresses.
So, Danica and Dana's friendship.
This
Danica
is
got
hilarious.
Dana's cake. This cake is so fucking funny. It has, like, this really hot picture of Dana on it.
Sometimes.
Yeah, she looks really good. 10 out of 10. And Danica says, like, she actually really likes Dana, which I previously didn't think so because of how much shit Danica always gives her. But
now that she's not dating Max, Danica loves her.
Yeah, and I mean, Danica gives shit to Dana about all the bad taste in men she has, and Dana gives shit to Danica about having to blow into a breathalyzer to start her car. So, they're the same.
Oh, yeah, which I think, like, they're so lighthearted with each other now. It's all the best.
This friendship, though, is going to fuck me up. Dana and Danica, never.
Yes.
Never. Even the sentence I previously just said was a huge struggle.
Oh, I know.
So then we have Peter trying to get drunk. And my little James is just, like, struggling so hard. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. But he wants to.
Oh,
Peter's
trying. You and your Peter sightings. I cannot.
I love Peter. Let's go to Charlie. She named her fake boobs.
This is so funny. She named them T and Tamara, and then she goes, sister, sister. And I was like, oh, my God. This is the best, like, we've gotten from Charlie. Like, the one moment I needed, I didn't need to know that she's never eaten pasta or avocados, but I needed to know that she named her boobs this.
Yeah, it was really good. Lisa and Ken make an appearance.
No, not Ken.
Well, Ken's in the car.
Ken's waiting in the car.
Wait, the best is, too, it's Ken's birthday, and he sits in the car as Lisa, like, socializes at this birthday party.
I love it.
But Lisa says she doesn't normally go to her staff birthday parties, and I was like, what?
Well, usually I feel like they go out of town for their birthdays.
Oh, my God, I feel like Lisa always shows up at her staff. Remember, she, like, went to Peter's, and she's like, I don't normally go to my staff birthday parties. Shows
well,
up at Stassi's
or
whatever.
Favorites. Like, let's be honest, she wouldn't show up. Like, she didn't show up to Jack's birthday or Tom's. She'll show up to a few, I feel like, her
this
favorites.
This bitch is at everyone's birthday, but whatever. Ariana and Schwartz discussed the second wedding.
Yep.
Almost
so
like the Kristen and Katie.
Yep, we get right to it. I mean, Kristen's crying from the minute she sits down. It is so, she can't even speak. She's so upset about the Vegas thing. And Chris, or Katie's like, I don't really know what you want me to say. Like, we're not friends. And Katie's like, or Kristen's like, but, so we're not sisters, we're not friends. And Katie's like, I think we need a break, which I think they do too.
And then Kristen immediately goes into like, I would jump in front of a bus for you.
And it's like, nobody's arguing that. I'm sure, like, Katie still loves you, but it's like, I love you, but I need to love you from afar. Like, you're driving me crazy.
When Kristen was going through her breakup with Sandoval, it was legitimately like this. Like, Sandoval would be like, I'm not dating you, Kristen. And she'd be like, but I would take a bullet for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop. And then the same thing here happens right now. And Katie's like, I'm just done with this friendship right now.
Yeah,
like, goodbye.
Katie's like, okay, I appreciate that, but, like, let's still move on.
And that was literally the end of that. So,
gosh.
But
Brett tells Dana that Sheena texted Max after their combo, Brett is talking to Dana. I didn't say that correctly. And after Dana and Sheena's combo at Sir, Sheena texts Max about all of the whole Brett and Dana stuff. And it's like, classic Sheena says she's not upset, and then here we are going to Max. And I feel like Sheena's trying to rile Max up with these texts and, like, get him mad, so then she feels
has someone on her side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even Lala is like, I'm not even surprised that Sheena's pissed about this. This is so stupid, whatever. And then Dana's over it. This is her and her mom's special day. She's not going to deal with this shit. She, out of a courtesy, told Sheena about it. So she confronts Sheena, as Sheena's wearing a stupid-ass sports bra or something, and basically is like, listen, what's your freaking problem?
Yeah.
Like, straight up. And Sheena's just like, it was weird that you and Brett went out, and Max and Brett are friends. Did you even know that? And I wanted to, like, grab Sheena and smack her.
Well, it's like, what was the whole conversation they had at Star? Like, Dana already acknowledged that, like, Brett and Max talked, and she was like, and to be honest, Max doesn't even get a vote. Like, I've already talked to you. And then Sheena's like, well, I mean, like, you talked to Max beforehand. Why didn't I get told beforehand? And she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. There were two things that pissed me off about this. One, it's not Sheena's responsibility to let Max know about this. She is not in this relationship. She has nothing to do with it. And two, Dana's right. Max doesn't get a vote. And I love Dana going, I could date Max's dad if I wanted to, and he wouldn't get a vote. And Max's dad is hot.
Yeah. I love Dana. She's so direct with people. I feel like she's way more honest than she needs to be. But that's for her own, like, good. She's like, I want to be a direct person. She even, like you said, walked straight up to Sheena at the party and is like, I'm not dealing with this at my party. Let's discuss this right now.
Well, like, it's a lot worse for Sheena because she goes from one bad bitch to the top bad bitch, Lala. So Lala comes in and she's like, Sheena, we're going to discuss this Brett situation. Like, this is so fucking stupid. You always do this. And then we get a flash to Adam and to Max and to Brett. We're all these dudes. She's like, they're my best friend, but she has feelings for them.
Yeah, she's like, you can't just call them, like, you can't have a single guy and call him your best friend and do this to everybody. Like, they're allowed to date people. You can't just freak out at everybody and then tell everybody you don't have feelings for them. Like, it's not working. But then Sheena's like, that's not why I'm sad and not why I'm crying. Like, and it's just like, well, then why are you crying? Like, you're upset that everybody else is in a couple? Okay, so this is all about the same thing then. You clearly want someone. And all these people want to do is be your friend, but you take it way too seriously.
I'm like to some extent, Sheena, I get it, okay? No one I could imagine wants to be divorced and then single at 34. Like, I don't know. I'm 25 and I'm single and I'm, like, kind of whatever about it.
Never been married. Not for
years. Yeah, I don't know anything yet, but... Like, I get it. It's upsetting, and you do look around, and you see all your friends and couples, but the way to solve that is not to have a best friend that's single and a guy, and then hope to God you guys fall madly in love. It's to go on dating apps, go on dates, try things out. Remember single Sheena last season, going on all those dates? That was fun, Sheena. That's how you find it.
Yeah, but, like, be single and actually be single. Don't think you're going to fall in love with people the first time you meet them.
I know. I think she just is desperate for love, and Shay, she couldn't make it work with Shay, so now she's unlovable or something.
I wonder if she regrets, like, breaking up with Shay, because, like, to be honest, I feel like, didn't they break up because he was an alcoholic?
Yeah, he had, like, drug problem, didn't he? He was something.
He was definitely
alcohol
an alcoholic.
And drugs.
Yeah, he was definitely an alcoholic, and he was going to AA, and he was, like, sober by the time they got divorced. That it always seems, like, sad to me that it's, like, so not through, like, sickness and in health, like, because, like, alcoholism is a sickness. Like, you got to tough it out with them. I feel like she should have stayed with Shay.
I don't know the whole story on their divorce, like, who did who, but I would imagine that Sheena's the one that initiated the divorce.
Yeah.
But I think Shay would have stuck by her. I don't know. I just think her and Shay were a weird couple from the beginning. But whatever, Sheena, you should have stayed with Shay, because then from there it was Rob and Adam who just sucked ass. So like,
well, this is the time. Chris, I feel like Chris will find this. Chris, we want to know the details about the divorce. Please let us know.
Can you find it?
Yeah.
So then let's go over to Brett and Lisa.
This was amazing. I love when Lisa, like, has her favorites. She's so open about it. Like, Brett and, like Lisa just have this banter, and I love it because it's kind of flirty, but, like, obviously nothing's going to happen. But it's just, like, a, like, comforting, friendly, like, flirtatiousness. Like, obviously Lisa thinks Brett's adorable.
It was really flirty. And then Brett said something like, do you want to make out? And Lisa was like, ha ha, Brett. And I was like, if there weren't cameras, these two would be fucking on the bar right now. Like, this is the sexual tension is crazy.
I think Lisa loves how beautiful Brett is. And I think Brett loves, like, in a sense, like, flirting with women and, like, kind of getting to them. Like, I think he loves the reaction he gets from Lisa. And it's like, no, they would not.
I think there's some sexual tension there.
Lisa's,
I think,
so
it's the forbidden fruit. I think they both
no.
can't have each other, so it's forbidden fruit. You can't change my mind.
Oh, man. All right, since I can't change your mind, let's move on to our favorite, Beau and Stassi. She's embarrassed about last night, which I get it. Like, who wants to cry about not getting an engagement?
I know,
but Beau, I think for the first time, kind of affirms her and, like, says, like, we will die when we're old together, Stassi. Like,
oh my God,
we will be together forever. Which I love.
Oh my
that.
God. And this is the only moment I've really felt Sheena's pain, and I was like, I want Beau.
Yeah.
I don't want any guy. I want Beau.
I want my own version of Beau.
Exactly. So, yeah. Does that kind of... Oh, then Dana goes into talking about how this birthday is really great for her. She's so happy she found people to celebrate her. And then she gets her cake smashed into... Or her face smashed into the cake by Sandoval. And then
yeah,
a huge cake fight breaks out. And then Brett and Dana just start locking lips. They got cake all over their faces, and they're like, let's just eat it off each other. And they start making out.
Crazy. Like, I was shocked that they just, like, had their first kiss in the middle of everybody.
That was nuts. That was, like, some high school party shit where two people just start making out, and you're like, I don't get it.
Yeah, you're like, this ain't the time or place, honey.
And I'm surprised how this episode, like, ended, because it ended with Sheena almost in tears, like, don't get any cake on me. I can't be covered in cake. And it just ends.
Producers are trolling her this season.
Poor Sheena. But, so next time on Vanderpump Rules, Brett and Dana double date with James and Raquel.
So
excited for this friend group. Danica thinks Dana deserves better than Brett. Which, like, fucking Danica's like Sheena at this point.
Well, it's like, okay, you can't say that about everybody she dates. Like, you need to let it go now.
Stassi and Sandoval are going to officiate the quote-unquote wedding.
Stassi's outfit is fab.
And Stassi throws some digs in there about not being engaged. Beau calls Stassi's dad for permission to marry her.
Yes, we're almost at, you know, the engagement's going to be the season finale.
Season finale. And Kristen is still super butthurt about not being invited to Vegas.
Yep. Suck to suck.
I posted in the Facebook group. We didn't get any responses.
Oh, bummer.
Sad.
That's okay.
I even had a cute little gift with Sheena. I thought it was cute. Whatever, everyone. It's fine. Don't indulge me today.
I'm not hurt. It's fine.
It's fine. But, so I guess we'll just go into accepted and blocked.
Yeah, this was difficult because I feel like there aren't any major, like, fights, I'd say.
I'm going to go with, there was no one that really, like, super stuck out that I was like, yes. And there was no one that I was like, oh, I hate them this episode.
Yeah.
Like, it was very Thanks. Just, like,
neutral.
I guess everyone's here.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go first or do you want me to?
You go first. I don't know
okay.
which one's easier, to be honest.
I'm going to accept first, and I'm going to accept Bo.
Oh.
Because I think he's trying really, really, really hard to make it a surprise, and he kind of
yeah.
has Tom Schwartz energy where everything just kind of goes wrong, and he kind of sucks at everything, but he's, like, really trying. So
yeah.
I feel really bad that he's probably getting a lot of shit from Stassi, but I think the ideas behind it are really cute, and I think his declaration of love for Stassi twice in the episode was super cute, and I loved it.
I love that. I think Bo's a great choice. He's always one of the top guys.
Love it.
I am going to accept Dana. She's just a crowd pleaser all around. She's like the girl version of Bo. They're so chill, get along with everyone. They're always like, she's such a positive person. Like, she literally shares a birthday with her dead mom, yet can make it, like, the best. Like, she makes it so positive without even, like, forgetting her mom. Like, she makes it such about her mom, like, while she's on it, like, the date with Brett, and, like, she always talks about it, but it's not a negative thing. She really, like, looks at it as such a positive thing to share a birthday with her mom. Plus, really excited for this Brett Dana storyline ahead. I doubt they, like, full-on date, but, hey, some kissing and some flirting, always fun.
I was going to say, your girl got some action this episode.
Yes, she did. Two kisses on her birthday. Damn, girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go block, unless you don't have one.
This was difficult because I don't think she actually deserves it full-on, but Sheena.
My God, we have the same person. I'm not changing it. I have to block Sheena, too.
No, yes. We can joint talk about it. I totally get that she's going through a very emotional roller coaster of, like, freezing her eggs, and she is going through a hard time. But this is so Sheena, and this is such repetitive behavior. We've already seen it with Max. We see it with everyone, every guy she's obsessed with. I
yeah.
just can't have her get mad at my girl, Dana.
My other thing is, like, she is 34 at this point. Like, you can't keep meeting people at the restaurant you work at. You have to broaden your horizons. You're a fucking celebrity. Like, people are probably dying to date you, Sheena. Get out there. Do some good. And instead, it's this constant, like, oh, I don't like him. He's my best friend. But if you date him, I'll kill you. And it's
yeah.
just, Sheena, we're too old. I'm too old for this shit, Sheena. And I'm 9 years younger.
It's
Let's get it together.
I think single Sheena is such a, like, refreshing person on this season. But it's, like, it's not like she's truly single because she's still hung up on these guys. Like, I want
yeah.
truly single Sheena who is just dating around, like, not at the restaurant.
Agreed. 100%. Just like last season, but without Adam.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
she has dudes making her dinner, and then she hooks up with them in front of the camera, and then she goes on the date
crazy.
With that bachelorette guy, Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie.
Yeah.
We
oh.
love more. We
yeah,
love more
100%. Dudes. So I think this is the end of our episode. Everyone stay safe during quarantine.
Yes.
Meredith,
we'll do another round of who you would accept and block, especially because this one was so difficult. I want to know who you would.
Yeah. But Meredith, I can't wait for the day that we are together again and we can mix it up for real.
I know. We're going to have to, like, pop bottles of champagne. We each get
oh
one.
Oh, my God. Bring it drunk. Hopefully. It's
that
like,
would be.
The
wow.
swan song would be, like, if it was the season finale. And that
yeah.
was the first episode we were back together. And it was
oh, my
like,
gosh. We should do whatever our first episode back is. Maybe we should do a Facebook Live in our group.
Oh, my God. That would be so fun. I mean,
we have plenty of time to figure out how to do that.
How to do it.
Yeah.
Keep subscribing and rating and reviewing. We appreciate you guys a lot, especially during these hard times. We're honestly doing this to talk to other people besides our family, and we like it a lot because we just genuinely talk about this anyway when we're together, so we might as well record ourselves. But, yeah, now we're probably going to go watch The Challenge because all we do is watch reality TV.
Heck yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited. And I'm finishing, or I'm watching Survivor. Everybody get on that. Tell us everything you're watching this quarantine, because we need more.
Yeah, also know that Meredith and I applied for Love is Blind. And if
yes.
we get on that, we'll be gone for a while, but it'll be worth it.
Yes, it's coming to Chicago, so we're going to go find love in our quarantine pods.
That's what Sheena should do. Sheena, get on it.
Oh, man.
All right, bye, you guys.
Bye, guys.